And I think we're just going to skip to Colossians today for our reading. So if you'll dig through your worship packet there and find the thing that looks like this, challenged and blessed, it's the insert with the scripture reading for today in it. Looks like that. And the reading is from the Amplified Bible today on the left-hand side. So if you'll follow along with me, we're just going to read from chapter 3, verses 1 to 11. If then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. And set your minds and keep them set, and what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on earth. For as far as the world is concerned, you have died, and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in the splendor of his glory. So kill, deaden, deprive of power the evil desire lurking in your members, those animal impulses and all that is earthly in you that is employed in sin, sexual vice, impurity, sensual appetites, unholy desires, and all greed and covetousness, for that is idolatry, the deifying of self and other created things instead of God. It is on account of these very sins that the holy anger of God is ever coming upon the sons of disobedience, those who are obstinately opposed to the divine will, among whom you also once walked when you were living in and addicted to such practices yourself. But now, put away and rid yourselves completely of all these things: anger, rage, bad feeling toward others, curses and slander and foul-mouthed abuse and shameful utterances from your lips. Do not lie to one another, for you have stripped off the old unregenerate self with its evil practices and have clothed yourselves with the new spiritual self, which is ever in the process of being renewed and remolded, fuller and more perfect, knowledge upon knowledge, after the image of the likeness of him who created it. In this new creation, all distinctions vanish. There is no room for, and there can be, neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, nor differences between nations, whether alien barbarians or Scythians, who are the most savage of all, nor slave or free man, but Christ is all and in all, everything in everything and everywhere to all people without distinction of person. Well, it's a mouthful, hey? Well, there is a Cherokee legend that my staff brought up to me this week. An old Cherokee man is teaching his grandson how to handle his anger and hurt when one of his friends did something wrong to him, made him mad. And the grandfather said, "A fight is going on within me, my grandson. It's a terrible fight between two wolves. One is evil, he's anger, envy, sorrow, regret, envy, greed, arrogance, self-pity, self-righteousness, resentment, guilt, lies, false pride, prejudice, superiority, and ego." Then he said, "The other wolf inside of me is good. He's joy, peace, hope, love, serenity, humility, kindness, benevolence, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. And the same fight between two wolves is going on inside of you, my grandson." The grandson thought about it for a minute. Then he said, "Grandfather, which wolf will win?" The grandfather replied, "The one you feed. The one you feed." Well, this passage from Colossians today, from Paul, is about which one you're going to feed. And that we actually can choose what kind of thoughts we feed. Joyce Meyer, in her book, Battlefield of the Mind, how many of you have read her book? Some of you have. Calls Christians to be thinking what you're thinking about, because things come to be from how we think about them. And in today's scripture, Paul's saying the same thing. Since you've been raised with Christ, he says, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds and keep them set, he says. It's a continual process throughout life. Yes, you've already been saved. You already belong to the new reality of God in Christ in your baptism. In fact, he says you've died already and your new real life is hidden with Christ in God. So now, that salvation is taken care of. It was taken care of on the cross 2,000 years ago. Remember that? But now, our challenge is to be constantly at work growing into that new life in Christ. And it starts with how we think about things. Which wolf I'm going to feed on a day-to-day basis. And that's the reason why some people who are baptized, good folks, good Christian folks, never get to live the joyful life that God wants for them because they get caught in the negative stuff. They haven't cultivated this habit of thinking about what you're thinking, right? And it's also the reason why people like my father-in-law, who I told you about last week, Tom Tompkins, has such a positive life at age 91. By the way, he's going home Tuesday, and he's apparently walking better than he was before he almost died, for heaven's sakes. A thing that he said to me before we left Kansas City, that was kind of interesting. Another thing, I was talking to him, I didn't think he quite realized how serious this was, and I said, Tom, do you realize that the doctors expected you to die before we got here on that Thursday, and do you realize that we were preparing to have your funeral here? We thought you were going to die, Tom. And Tom says to me, oh, I never think that way. Well, you know, you hear the point. God gives us the ability to decide how we're going to think about things. We're free in that way. We're not victims. We kind of think we are sometimes. We're not. I can make the decision about how I think about things. The entire Bible has guidance for us. Proverbs 23:7 in the King James Version says it this way, as you think in your heart, so it is. As you think in your heart, that's how it is. Okay? And when we read enough of the Bible in our life of growth here, we see we're being guided to the good things of God, really. Even in the scripture passage of the Luke that we didn't read today, it sounds kind of tough, but it was talking about the divisions in families, and the divisions happen between those who can think the way God wants us to think in positive and good ways and those who are stuck in negativity. Maybe you've seen the old classic book, As You Think. It was written by James Allen 100 years ago. Anybody read that one? As You Think. It's a little thin thing. Yeah. Okay, David, you've seen it. And he says this, listen, your mind may be likened to a garden that may be intelligently cultivated or allowed to run wild. But whether cultivated or neglected, it will bring forth fruit. Just as gardeners cultivate their plots, keeping them free of weeds and growing the flowers and fruits they desire, so may you tend the garden of your mind, weeding out all the wrong, useless, impure thoughts, and cultivating toward perfection the flowers of right, useful, pure thoughts. And he says this also, a person doesn't end up in prison by the fate of circumstance, but by the path of their low thoughts and base desires. Nor does a pure-minded person suddenly fall into the good life. Good thoughts bear good fruit, bad thoughts bear bad fruit. Make sense? Are you with me now? Got that? In the counseling world, we use this formula. Thoughts lead to our feelings, lead to our actions. Got that? Thoughts lead to feelings, lead to how we act. It starts with our thoughts. You might be first aware of your feelings, but it's the thoughts that get you to feel certain ways. And if we're generally looking and thinking about the positive stuff that's going on and what's good in life, then our life is positive. But you know, when you're feeling miserable, if you look back at it, it's your negative thoughts that are getting you to feel miserable. Think about it. Think about what you're thinking about. And in fact, a lot of people, you've seen this at work and at school and other places and at church too. When people are miserable because they're stuck thinking in negative, sloppy ways, they make everybody miserable around them, don't they? Yeah. Joyce Meyer, in this book, Battlefield of the Mind, says this: thinking about what we're thinking about is so valuable in cultivating our new life in Christ, but the devil can deceive us into thinking that the source of our misery in life is something other than what it is. The devil wants us to think we're unhappy because of what's going on around us or what other people are doing around us, but the misery is actually going on inside of us. It's our thoughts, the way we interpret circumstances. And we are miserable when we're not keeping our thoughts like Jesus' thoughts. Now look at how Jesus thought about people in general, huh? How did he treat people? Look at this. People in his time who were considered outcasts, outsiders, prostitutes, tax collectors, ripoff artists. And you know what? People didn't even think that well of children, and certainly not that well of women. How did Jesus treat women? With honor, respect. Remember that it was women who witnessed the resurrection first. They were the ones who were always there for him. They had the courage to stick it out. Why? Because of the focus on them that was so positive in Jesus. And all those people I mentioned, all the outsiders, and all those who might not have been considered equals in society, Jesus sees as equally precious in God's sight, equally worthy of forgiveness, of healing, of a place at the table. Now, even in the Old Testament, this is true when you think about it. Remember David, that young shepherd boy? Remember him, the David and Goliath story? Now, David was the runt of the litter in that family, in Jesse's family. And he and the Philistines were just pounding the Israelites to death, you know? And they had this huge giant named Goliath, who was just a scary character. All David's older brothers were off fighting the battle, but he was left home to tend the sheep, you know, and protect them from the lions and the bears and all that stuff. But he ran out to the field because he'd heard, you know, about what the king Saul was offering to the man who could defeat Goliath. So he'd go out there and he'd keep asking everybody in the field, now what does the king say the man who defeats Goliath is going to get? And it was the Saul's daughter and also lots of land, you know. So he repeats that good stuff, but his brothers, of course, they're going, you little runt, get back and tend the sheep. Who do you think you are? You're going to embarrass our family, you know. You know, all that kind of stuff. Tell them, you're not going to amount to anything. And David could have listened to all that kind of negative talk, couldn't he? But instead, he kept repeating all the way to the battlefield, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. The same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine. What does he do? He takes his little tiny slingshot, and out goes Goliath, just like that. You hear that? David, rather than wringing his hands, focuses his mind on the things that are above, the way God wants him to think. You know, it shows in the Psalms too. David wrote so many of the Psalms. Even when he was depressed, you know what he'd say? I'm feeling miserable, but I'm going to recount the blessings of the Lord. That's how he dealt with being depressed. So let's have a little practice session here. You're going to be getting a letter from our congregational president, Joe Cox, later this week, because it's come to the council's attention that although we've done very well with our capital campaign, it's phenomenal what you guys have done with that. Do you know that we're down under $1 million in debt on this building now? It's just awesome. That's the first time, Lynette told me, in 20 years that you've had that little debt. We should give ourselves a hand. It's awesome, you know? At the same time, we've gotten a little lazy about our giving to the regular budget. And that what pays the heat and lights and air conditioning and all the incredible staff we have. So we're down about $130,000 on the year. Not a disaster, but it's a challenge for us, all right? About 10% down under our regular giving. So there's two ways of thinking about this situation, right? So if we're going to think about it negatively, what are some thoughts we could have about this situation? Go ahead. What are some thoughts? Going to make you work here. Don't make me have Jennifer come back this week. She's on vacation, by the way. What are some thoughts you could have about this situation with not having, with being down $130,000? What?
It's awful.
It's awful. We're going to hell in a handbasket. I knew it was wrong. Who's to blame for this, right? We have to cut back. We better fire some of that staff, right? You guys are, okay, I want you to think a little bit here and a little more. Now, okay, so those are the negative thoughts. And what does negative thought lead to? Just like that, huh? And you can see churches do that. That's not the habit of this congregation, though. So instead, if we're going to focus on the things of God, keep our minds above where Christ is, what are some thoughts, positive thoughts you could have about this situation? We got the balance of the year to get it right. What else? It could be 200,000. What else? How about, you know, God is so good. God takes care of us, and God's going to take care of this. How's that? Or, this congregation has always responded positively when there's a need. I've heard that time and again, you guys. Or how about, you know, wouldn't it be fun to increase our giving closer to the tithe and see what happens when we do that and see if God really will take care of us if we give more to the church? Huh? Isn't it going to be fun to see the results? You hear the difference in the thinking? You got it? All right. This is the kind of thing I want you guys to be thinking about practicing in other parts of your life. I do have to tell you a story, though. Along those lines, a pastor was talking to the organist before church, and he said, you know, when I finish my sermon, they were struggling with their mortgage debt. He said, when I finish my sermon, I'm going to ask all those in the congregation who would be willing to give an extra $1,000 today to the mortgage debt to stand up. And in the meantime, you provide some appropriate music. And the organist said, well, what would you suggest? And he said, the pastor said, how about the Star Spangled Banner? Oh, come on, you can laugh better than that. Come on. Well, when we're in Christ, when we're thinking of thoughts above, it can be more humorous and funny. We can laugh at ourselves sometimes when we see how crappy our thinking has gotten, you know, and how it's gotten us nowhere, and that all we have to do is shift our thinking. It's a practice. It's a habit that we're invited to cultivate throughout our lifetime. That's why it's set your minds and keep them set. It's a continual process throughout life because there's all this stuff that demands us to get more negative again. Just read the newspaper, for heaven's sakes. Watch the news. People want you to be focused negatively. Well, in your handout for today on the other side here, if you look at it, halfway down I suggest a little exercise for you. And it's this. Sometime today when you find yourself feeling kind of miserable or negative or crappy about something, or if somebody tells you you are, that's how I usually find out I'm doing it, ask yourself, how come I'm feeling lousy? And think about the thoughts you're thinking, because that's really where it's coming from when you're feeling lousy. What are the thoughts I'm thinking that are making me feel lousy? And then ask yourself, is that helping me feel good? No. So then think up a positive statement that you can make about the situation you've been frustrated with. And maybe it's just, you know, Matt Schaub, our quarterback, and how he performed last night. I don't know. And so think of a positive thought instead of what you were thinking. Like, you know, football's just a game. Yeah? An expensive game, but a game. But think of a positive thought, even if you don't quite believe it right now, and then repeat it to yourself out loud if you can, 10 times. 10 times, 10 times, 10 times. And then just notice how you feel after that. And if you don't feel a little better, then do it again 30 more times. And if that doesn't work, then go ahead and write down that positive thought. It slows your mind down 10 times. And if that doesn't work, call your therapist, okay? At any rate, God intends good things for us, you know? In our new life in Christ, and he's given you the ability to think and act in ways that lead you to that good life that he's already promised, that Jesus has died for you to have. Remember, we've been created in the image of God. We are co-creators. We can imagine things coming to be, and that's how it happens. What an incredible power and freedom we have in Christ. So set your minds and keep them set on the good stuff.